streaming live at newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duver and I are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people in Santa Barbara at Figueroa and Anacapa Streets, and in Montecito's Upper Village. At Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
How you doing today, Neil?
I'm doing great. I'm trying to get myself organized, so I have a huge trip coming up tomorrow morning.
I even heard that you woke up at like 4 and anxiety about it,
right,
anticipation.
I have an early plane from Los Angeles tomorrow to go to Sacramento for the day. And it's really, for someone that's lived here for 20 years and feels like if you, like the movie Brigadoon, if you leave, they won't let you back. The idea that I'm going to Sacramento and may have to stay there is sort of very, very nerve-wracking.
Which actually dovetails well into our guest today, who we have in studio with us, Andrea Rigel, who is a entrepreneur in the beauty industry. She cuts hair, she colors hair, she has a whole line of glop and glam products for children and adults. And this is who I got to take you on as a client to cut your hair. Right. It was like a match made in heaven.
So
since change is hard, but it's good.
Well, since this is the radio and no one can see, how do I look?
It looks fabulous, I have to say. So everyone knows out there, he was complaining about his hair for so long, I finally just bought him a haircut from Andrea.
Right. Richie, what do you think of my hair?
Okay.
Hey.
He's just jealous because you can't see Richard, but he is bald. Jealousy doesn't, everybody needs to know about.
Are we out of time yet?
Do we have some articles?
Oh, we do have some articles. It's funny you should mention it. The first article is called These Loans Aim to Help Borrowers Build a Credit History. And we talk about, credit ratings, but some people don't have a credit rating because they don't borrow money or they are in trouble because of prior financial problems. And the issue of trying to improve your credit rating is, what came first, the chicken or the egg? If your credit rating is bad, you really can't get credit to get a better credit rating and paying off the loan because no one's going to lend you money. So a couple of companies have come up with an idea where basically you quote-unquote borrow money for them for a year, but they don't really lend you the money. They create an escrow account that's fully insured, and you deposit money into it each month, and it includes an interest component. At the end of the month, at the end of the year, they free up the money. They give you the money that basically you use as for savings, and
it's like a locked savings account.
It is a locked savings account, correct. Good way to put it. And they end up notifying the credit unions, the credit agencies, that you borrowed money for them for a year and you successfully paid it off. So what it does is it does two things. It forces you to save, and the average is about $1,000 for the year. It forces you to save, and it provides the first step in improving or even getting a credit rating. So it's a pretty neat
idea.
Which is
really important because a lot of people who don't have bad credit, for instance, but they just don't have any credit at all, are treated the same way as it would be if you had bad credit. So, like one of our sponsors, Kelly Marsh, who was on a few weeks ago, was talking about kind of like you only want to have 30% of your credit card drawn upon in order for it not to go against you on credit. Well, this is a way for those people, as well as people who need to rebuild their credit, to really get ahead. It's an interesting concept.
And, I can tell from a firsthand experience how important this is. A couple of years ago, my son, who at that point was living in L.A., wanted to buy his first car in L.A. because he needed one from New York. And we went to the dealership, and he found a used car. And they asked for his credit, the $25 to do his credit. I said, well, you know what? Don't worry. I'll guarantee the loan. So they did both our credit. And he had a better credit rating than I did because I didn't have debt. And I asked, well, I don't have as good a credit rating as my son who has no money.
Because you didn't have a track record of paying on time and in full.
Right. So can I borrow some money?
For a 16% interest rate, absolutely.
Right. The next article is called Lower Tax Refunds May Spark Outrage, But Maybe It Shouldn't. And, you know, we've read in the news over the last several weeks that the average tax refund is less than people expected, and everyone is really upset about it. But as the article says, it's just a psychological aspect of people like to get a check at the end of the year, but the only reason they're not getting a check is because they withheld less during the year. And on a present value basis, they're better off because they had use of the money during the year.
Well, that's the ironic thing, is that ideally when you do your taxes, you owe nothing and you get nothing in return, and then it means you put exactly the right amount of money withheld from your paycheck during the course of the year. But so many people have used that tax refund check as that they look at it as a bonus, not as if they've already paid in too much over the previous 12 months.
Yeah, and they were basically giving the government a tax, an interest-free loan,
and
sure. The other part of this article is interesting is, you know, the behavioral aspect. Behavioral economics is now an important study of investing, and it goes way back to Reagan, where Reagan was aware of this phenomenon. And in the 60s, when he was governor, he didn't want the withholding tax rates in California to go up because it would be less of a traumatic exposure for citizens to have it reducing their paycheck by a small amount. He wanted there to be shock at the end of the year where people paid money as a big check, which would turn them off to taxes. So from a political standpoint, he recognized that if you want to reduce taxes overall, make it so that the public
has to write a check tax time.
Which is interesting. The final article for today is entitled blank check companies are raising cash for acquisitions. Now,
and this is the craziest notion.
Well, a blank check company is a company that doesn't do anything.
They may or may not do something.
It's a company that it gets formed,
and they go public. That's the crazy part.
They go public, and they have no business. And they are promising to take your money when you invest it, and
Do something with it.
You have no idea what they're going to do. They can do anything with it. And basically, it's a poor man's private equity firm. And the only benefit is that it's a...
Write the loss off?
No, you can... It's liquid. Where, you know, you invest in a real private equity firm, you're locked in for 10 or 20 years. The idea that people would invest in a company that doesn't do anything... And what they will do, you don't have any idea, is beyond the beyond as far as I'm concerned. Do you own any of these?
No.
You don't? Okay, just want to make sure. actually, we have time for one more article, which, as you noticed when I showed it to you today, you said, wait a minute.
Because that was such a great discussion about that one. The blank check article.
You liked it?
Yes.
You liked it?
Great choice.
Great choice. Well, you know, people will sell anything if people will buy it.
True.
The final article is about buybacks. And, you know, there's been a whole discussion politically about some of the Democrats are saying we should make buybacks illegal, which, you know, and I, as everyone knows who listens to the show, I'm a real Democrat.
I thought you were going to say Republican. I got to go check you into the memory care ward.
Right. Where am I and what am I doing
exactly.
here?
Exactly.
The idea that you should, you know, restrict
buybacks, I think, is a mistake. I think the real issue is if you give tax cuts to people, to companies, and they use it for buybacks, it's sort of counterproductive. But the thing about this is that companies are pretty lousy at timing. And so over the 2018 period, where there were many, many buybacks, and it was a huge part of the tax refund that corporations got were for buybacks.
Well, they didn't get it for buybacks, but they
had nothing else to do.
In large part, they used it for buybacks
and dividends. And but the irony is, for so many companies, Citibank, Apple, so many companies,
all of them actually, any company that did a buyback before fourth quarter, and specifically the Christmas Eve, really, they were buying at a much higher price than they needed to.
So the bottom line is they would have been better off investing in any kind of plant and equipment because they ended up overpaying for their own stock.
And one could actually argue, though, Neil, that they contributed to the reason why the stock was high at that point by creating that demand for their stock. Because I think a lot of people lose sight of the fact that the stock market, you need to have a buyer and a seller. If there's no buyer, then you can't sell your company or your shares, and vice versa. And the more demand there is for buying, the more the share price goes up.
Maybe they should have, instead of buying their own shares, they should have bought blank check companies. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit ArlingtonFinancialAdvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 805-564-1290.
Or you could also email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And we have Andrea Rigel in studio with us. And she is a beauty industry veteran for over 20 years. She also is the owner of Miche Salon and Spa and the founder of a kids product line called Glop and Glam. And she was nice enough to bring us in a whole selection of the Glop and Glam products.
Excuse me, what do you mean us? There's seven things sitting in front of you. I mean, she brought you a bunch of stuff.
The key here is the kid product line. Your kids are adults.
That's true.
and they're boys, you know?
And we have boy stuff. That's what we're all about.
So Andrea, tell us how you got into the beauty industry. What got you on the path? Because you are not the usual person. You've been nominated for numerous awards, your Spirit of Entrepreneurship Award. You definitely have that drive to create business for yourself and create new and different things. So tell us a little bit about your background.
So first of all, I'm a local girl, born and raised Santa Barbara. And at the age of 15, even earlier when I was babysitting people, kids, I would start doing their hair and I loved it and I would always do everyone's hair. I started working in the salons when I was 15. Pretty much once I was in a salon, I couldn't get out, you couldn't get me out. I got my license when I was 18 and traveled doing hair and just fell in love with the industry, fell in love with the passion for making people feel good about themselves, looking good, and just kind of being able to use my creative touch that I felt like I was lucky enough to have. So I opened my own salon 12 years ago, Miche Salon, and
Which, full disclosure, both Neil and I are both clients of.
Yes. And I think that was a step that was probably one of the scariest things I've done, but I knew it was the right thing. I had a lot of assistants. I had people that were training with me, and I felt like it was the next step. I had just had a six-month-old baby at the time when I opened, and I kind of wanted to do my own thing, so I opened Miche Salon. And I think it's been amazing. It's been hard. It's been challenging. It's been fun. But I have an amazing team of girls. And I think that's one of the things for the salon as far as keeping it successful.
I think you've done a really great job at creating a culture that's unique within the people that work at your salon.
Absolutely.
It's very much communal. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's busy, it doesn't feel like these are my clients and do not ever cut their hair or color their hair. You definitely, there's that dynamic of sharing and everyone's working together and helping each other, which is a very different culture than most salons.
Absolutely.
Out there.
That was definitely my vision. That was my number one goal of opening my own salon, was to have that community feel, especially being local, wanting to have people feel comfortable coming in, going to whoever, having everyone work together as a team, having that atmosphere. That was extremely important to me, and that was part of what drove me to want to have my own salon, is to have kind of being able to control my own environment and have a really healthy, you know, environment that everyone works together.
And this is a business show, and, you know, we talk to people about the challenges of owning a small business. And I would imagine this particular business has even more challenges than most, because the product that you're selling in most cases, other than the products we'll talk about, are essentially independent contractors. Mm-hmm. And that sort of exacerbates the general problem of running a small business. You know, how have you found that as a challenge?
Well, absolutely. I was probably one of the very first to go rental in the industry, I don't know, maybe 17 years ago. And from all of the conferences I've gone to across the country, I want to say now we're probably, the whole country, every state, especially California, we're at probably 70-80% booth rental. So that makes obviously a challenge for salon owners to have especially a team working dynamic together when you're renting everyone out individually. So which is why I felt like my job was hard, but also important for me to create the people who work well together. I knew that if I just picked whoever said, oh, I want a job, that wouldn't necessarily create the right environment so that we are all together and working together. And I feel like that's part of, they all know and trust that I'm going to, you know, select people that work well together so that all of our clients are good. We have each other's back, but they are, you're right. I mean, they're paying me rent, and essentially they all kind of have their own space in my space. So,
and following up on the subject, if there's a cold call comes in and says, I'm looking to get my hairstyle, what's the procedure the operator uses? Is there a person that is next up, like at a car dealership?
Or, you know, how do No, you? We have, I mean, we're, we, I mean, it just depends.
Everyone's
on what
so
they
busy
want.
There. It's, yeah, like whoever's busy, available,
so
probably.
That it is. It's whoever's available. I mean, a lot of them started as my employees at, And then they work them their way up as they build their clientele. So my goal was, as an owner, is to get them all busy enough, have enough clientele that they could be on their own. So really, if someone calls in and needs a hair appointment, it's probably whoever is available because we are pretty busy. But we also want to take into the needs of, you know, specific of what somebody wants and who would be best for their hair.
So when you interview people for open spaces, not that you have a ton of them, I think that that's something that crosses across, you know, it cuts across all business types. How do you go through that interview process and take a risk on someone if you don't already know them?
So to be honest with you, because we I mean, knock on wood, but we really haven't had any turnover for hair. So I have pretty much hand selected every person as far as knowing their reputation, knowing, you know, their clients and who has that respect in the industry. And I feel like, again, just kind of picking who works well together. If I hire somebody for front desk or for other areas, then I definitely, you know, do the basic questions so that we make sure that they also are a good fit with our team.
And so, you know, what would you say has been the most valuable lesson that you've learned through running the salon?
I think the most value, definitely, again, team aspect is one of the biggest things. But I think also thinking that a business can run itself, it cannot.
Never does.
So you're always having to stay on, always staying current and figuring out new solutions and new ways and new trends that are happening. I think that's so valuable. You know, you just have to stay current and you have to stay in it at all times. So.
And what's good about Santa Barbara is the landlords are always willing to reduce your rent if things get bad.
Oh, of course they will.
Which is really an important part of this, which we can talk about when we come back. You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
If you have trouble handling your anger, get help. If someone you love is hurting or scaring you, get help. There is a full-service domestic violence agency in Santa Barbara County, which offers emergency shelter, counseling, transitional housing, anger management, and teen outreach programs. Its name is Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County. Call their 24-hour helpline at 964-5245. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, putting an end to domestic violence.
Did you know that domestic violence sends more than 500 women and children to emergency shelters every year? There is a place where all family members affected by domestic violence can get help. Domestic Violence Solutions for Santa Barbara County, with four 24-hour phone lines to help. In Santa Barbara, call 964-5245. In Santa Maria, call 925-2160. In Lompoc, call 736-0965. And in Santa Ynez, call 686-4390.
You're invited to enjoy Casino Royale, a fundraiser for the Page Youth Center, on Saturday, March 16th from 5:30 to 10 p.m. There'll be cocktails by Simply Cocktails, dinner by Holdren's, dessert by Rory's Creamery, games, auctions, and more. Tickets are $65 per person, and that includes $50 casino cash. For tickets and more information, visit pageyouthcenter.org or call 805-967-8878. 805-967-8878.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So, Andrea, tell us a little bit about how you got into, how you started Glop and Glam, and what drove you to, you know, here you are, you're a mom of two boys, started off with one, I'm assuming,
yes.
And you had a really busy salon and a great clientele, and then you found time to start yet another business.
So I started Glop and Glam Hair Products because it was funny. I kept hearing from clients before I had kids of my own, oh, what should I use on my kids' hair? They have frizzy hair, they have curly hair, they have straight hair. I want something kind of natural. And I really kind of was like, I don't know, just use whatever, until I had kids of my own. My kids are mixed kids, so that obviously creates also a little bit of hair change. So my boys need products in their hair, especially for frizz and whatnot. So when I noticed there was a huge void in the market, and I decided, oh, my husband and I thought, oh, this will be great. We'll just start a hair product company, and
in your spare time,
for the next generation. And we kind of thought, oh, this will be fun. We started one business with one kid. We'll start another with the other, and it's been great. But I thought, because I opened a salon, oh, I totally know. I've got this down. I know how to open and start another business. But it's definitely a whole nother thing to have a national product line, and we're in thousands of salons across the country, so it's definitely...
And it's international, too,
right? It's international, yeah. We're in Canada. We're not EU compliant, but we're Canadian. We're doing really well. It's just, you know, I think we were ahead of the time when we started this. I was very big when we started looking at ingredients and stuff. Our stuff is all paraben-free, gluten-free, nut-free, vegan, cruelty-free, all of those good sulfate-free, you know, natural and organic ingredients. And when we first came to market, I would say that to people, and they would look at me, because that was before the adult consumer was even more on the natural side. So they would look at me and say, I don't see why that matters. And now it's obviously a pretty basic thing that you have to be, you know, all of those. So I'm glad that we came out with it first.
But. Well, and especially with, you know, babies. So most of your products are really for kids once they have hair.
Right, exactly.
You know, and so basically the trend has been you get all organic, or if,
right.
You know, all these products that have no chemicals in them for your babies. But then this is a great next product line to transition into from whatever you were using to this as the child matures.
And that was really my thing. My thought process on that was really like, you know, I love kids. I love the beauty industry. And I think just raising that younger generation to feel confidence and excited by doing their hair, loving the hair that they have. But at the same time, mom, you know, happy that they have healthy, natural stuff in their hair. So and that generation, they know those words. I had a six-year-old raise her hand in a class we were doing and asked if our products were all gluten-free. And I said, yes, they are. But they know that. So,
And that's huge right now with the rise of celiac disease.
Exactly.
And lots of, you know, we have a bakery in town that's thriving, and it's completely gluten-free.
Exactly.
So people are aware, and even the kids for sure are aware. And I think it's important for everyone listening to know that they come in fun, fun different flavors, if you
oh,
will.
Yes.
So we have candy apple, creamsicle mint,
mist,
cake batter.
Yeah.
Oh, mist. Okay.
Yeah.
Creamsicle mist.
So if you break it down, you've got distribution, you've got design, you've got manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just take each one, starting from the beginning. You had this vision. How did you develop the actual product itself? Did you have help?
So yes, we found chemists, which was hard, but I found some chemists. I'm not in my kitchen making this. You know, I worked with professional chemists out of Los Angeles. And I said performance was obviously huge to me as a hairstylist. The fun factor, fragrance and colors was also going to be important. So that's why we came up with, you know, creamsicle and all of that. So we found those. And then we went to, so in the fragrance, there's a third one. So there's the fragrance house, which they send you all the fragrances. So you're dealing with the chemist that's dealing with the formulas, then the fragrance houses that deal with all the fragrances, and then they put them together to make sure that they work well together. and then the packaging. So, and then we went to the packaging and came out with different packaging. that worked with the colors and the idea and the concept that we wanted.
How'd you find distribution?
So that was hard. Like I said at the beginning, I think the biggest thing was we were really first to the market for being a salon professional for the next generation. People kind of thought of baby products, which was not...
which isn't your target market.
Which is not our target market. And that's where people were kind of like, I don't get why this is even important. And we kept kind of saying, no, this is important. There is a market here. There's people who want to spend money. I mean, look at that generation. They're one of the highest markets that there is for spending money right now. And here, especially the beauty industry, was putting no money into it. So our big push was to the adult salons and the professional industry was saying, hey, you know, even if you don't do kids in your own salon, your clientele is mom, grandma, and they are wanting to spend money. They want this. They want something like this for their kids. Their kids want something like this. And so as we kind of just started our distribution across the country, that really started and we got...
Where do you sell? Do you sell only in salons?
We also sell beauty supply stores. We're in and chains. So we're professionals. So we don't sell in like...
You're not
Targets
on Amazon
and,
or something
yeah,
like that.
I mean, you could probably... We don't sell on Amazon. But we sell on like, you know, all the professional channels, beauty channels that we sell.
So it's a business to business deal for you as opposed
And we have distributors that sell to salons across the country as well. We have, you know, one of the largest, we have really huge, great partners that are salon distributors across the country.
Now, how did you create those contacts with the distributors to get the product out? Because I've got to imagine throughout the timeline, you have this, you know, you're in the creation and the creative stage of getting together the product and the fragrance and what have you. Then you have the packaging. And then how do you create those? And those are basically you're paying people to help you with that.
Absolutely.
Distribution, you're paying them, but they also have to believe in your product because they want to be able to sell it.
Yeah.
So how did you go about creating those relationships?
So honestly, like I said, it was really hard at the beginning because they couldn't quite understand. So we went
They didn't see the need,
they
basically.
They didn't see the need. And so we would do hair shows. I spent a lot of time and money traveling across the country at hair shows and showing them. And then we would sell out at hair shows. I would even do consignment for certain distributors. I did a couple things where I sent them a couple shipments and I said, I believe in this enough. I know it's going to work. And they sold out right away and they went, whoa, okay, there is a need. At hair shows, that was one of the best ways because our booth would be constantly busy with people just buying and selling out. And so the distributors looked at it and went, oh, okay, there's obviously a need because they're selling out without even people there. Now it's totally different. When I go to a hair show, it's like people go, oh yeah, we carry your line. Oh yeah, we have this. Oh yeah, my whole family uses this. My kids love it. So it's good because now our name is out there. But at the beginning, it was hard. We had to hustle. We had to go across the country and go to every hair show and knock on every door and try to get people to listen as much as we could.
Where do you manufacture it?
Out of Los Angeles.
And do you get involved with the manufacturing process?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not contracted out and you just say, have a good day. You actually look.
I'm in every single, which they even will say that I'm probably one of the most involved of any of the brands, even because we do, you know, a lot of other big, they do a bunch of other big brands, the chemists that we work with. And they're like, you are so much more involved because I'm a hairstylist. So I'm constantly, our whole team is constantly looking at, you know, what for our demographic, what ingredients do we need to add? What do we need to take out? You know, what is best for our clients and the hair and the customer?
And how do you finance your inventory?
We did mostly angel investments early on. We just had, friends and family money. And now, you know, we're able to do it ourselves, but that's how it was early on.
Because of that, you know, when you're selling a product as opposed to a service, one of the bigger expenses can be just financing the inventory.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was huge. And now that we've grown so much, that's also obviously another thing. It's like you're growing past that point of, you know, where you just continue to grow and funds are
bring it full circle, you need a really big credit line.
you know. 100%. Yeah.
So you went from buying your first home without, you know, right, exactly. any credit to right. here you are, you know, right. financing a major operation. Yeah. And so now, what's the vision for Glop and Glam in the future?
I mean, I think just my biggest vision is just being known like we are as the number one brand for the next generation. Really having kids love and excited about their hair and having healthy products and, you know, educating them at a young age. And then I think for the company, you know, I don't know. As far as now, we're still happy with what is going. But, you know, we would love to expand and keep continuing to have it grow to other countries.
If I start using Glop and Glam, will I look younger?
I think you might.
Anti-aging, so. That could be the next one.
This could be the real.
I have to say, though, on a serious note, as a mom, if Glop and Glam gets my son to take a shower,
exactly.
that would be awesome.
We get told that all the time. So,
you're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College is a nonprofit organization which supports our own Santa Barbara City College. The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College, or SBCC, funds scholarships, childcare, book grants, and other programs. Without these, many students simply would not be able to attend college. There is an amazing range of academic and vocational studies offered at City College which encourage students to find their passion and their talents. As a donor to the foundation, you have the power to change lives. Please help our community college by donating to the Foundation for SBCC. Call 730-4401 or visit us at sbccfoundation.org to find out how you can help. That's 730-4401 or sbccfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about. So, one of the things we didn't talk about yet is what it's like to be in business with your husband.
Oh, I know. That's a big deal.
Are you still on
speaking
terms?
You know, I had a
terms?
Much better question for that. What's How the, do you do it all, Andrea, is what I was going to ask.
I know,
and then it was going to lead into a nice comment about her husband he could be
isn't
happy
that interesting?
About.
You were going to ask it in a positive way. I asked it, I framed it in a negative way.
So my husband and I have been married almost 19 years, so I feel like that's a huge impressive thing. So we met when I was 15, and we started,
I
started doing hair, and he's also born and raised Santa Barbara. And I think that that's part of why we've worked as a team all these years together on building the salon together. Even though I run the salon and work, you know, at the salon, he still obviously has a huge part of that because he encouraged me to do it and he's helped me with everything. And then as far as Glop and Glam, he runs the day-to-day for it. And so obviously he's extremely involved in and being a huge part of it. And yeah, it's hard to work together, but at the same time, there's so many, you know, pluses on that we get to travel together. We get to take our kids to hair shows and they get to see our business that we've built together and all of those things. So,
well, it makes for a great partnership. It's just
absolutely.
Sometimes a little, a little
it's hard.
A part-time.
Yeah.
It makes girls' weekends yeah, exactly. that much more important.
Right?
So, is there an imbalance? You know, it would be interesting, you know, if there's a sort of a sexist kind of a thing when you see a couple get into a business together, the construction business, you say, you know, how does a woman, you know, compete with the husband to get, you know, to make ideas known if it's the construction business? And now you're in a business that, you know, is fashion, is more
beauty. Yeah.
Beauty. Is there sort of... Was there sort of an imbalance in the beginning?
Oh, I definitely do not think when he met me, he was going to be in the beauty business.
He envisioned his career.
No, 100%. He went to UCSB, got his degree in international business and global studies. So I think he just knew the business side of it when him and I decided that we thought it would be great to come up with this concept, and we saw the void in the market. And I kept telling him about it, and we looked into stuff. I think he realized, you know, his business background, he could be able to be a huge, you know, part of it. But I definitely don't think he started with, oh, yes, I'm going to be in the beauty business.
Because I'm thinking about doing this now.
I know.
So when you talk about the next generation, where does that fall in the age segment for people? And, you know, why do you use that terminology?
So the reason we say next generation is because I feel like everybody thinks they're the next generation.
Including Neil, evidently.
Exactly. But that's kind of the point, is like we get email all the time from people all over, all different age groups that love our products. And a lot of times, obviously, they start with the younger. But I think when we pigeonhole ourselves into a like specific, oh, you have to be only 6 years old or you have to stop using it at 10 years old, then you kind of get stuck in, to be honest with you, at hair shows, part of the reasons we sell so much is from that early 20s, late teens. They love our products. It's in the price point that they can afford, but it's got all the elements of the natural and organic. And our fragrances are huge. You know, the cake batter and the creamsicle, that makes it fun so that the younger... But performance-wise, I use all the products on my own hair. I mean, we're all adult-level quality. And I say that all that has to do with me working with the chemists. Our performance is not any different than an adult line. It's just that we have, you know, the natural lice prevention, all of the ingredients that we go into that is for the younger generation. So we say the next generation.
Do you have this, do you have a problem having it carried by other salons in Santa Barbara?
Yeah, I we have to be careful of saying that, but yeah, no, we're sold at a couple. We're sold at the kids salon here, and
well,
a
that's where
other ones.
I purchased the hair gel for my daughter, which is called Glitter Gum. It's like right up her alley at the kids salon.
Exactly,
in town.
And so they do a great job. I think that it's a little bit harder, and then we're also sold at Chicken Little in town. It's a little harder with the adult salons in town than it is in the rest of the country because I think they think of, you know, I'm a competitor as far as my salon. But that's where we've done really well selling in adult salons across the country because of the fact that we're not trading dollars. We're able to have a product line that is going to continue to keep their sales revenue from their other products but add additional dollars from our products. So.
And is there any thought about trying to keep these kids as they get older to identify the brand in such a way that when they become 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds, they still want this brand?
Well, I think then we would probably have to kind of reposition ourselves for other stuff. I mean, I feel like there's always going to be more young clients. I mean, that consumer and that... I mean, if you do all the research
right,
on it.
They're the demographic.
They're the
so
demographic.
That teen demographic
right,
has
that
the most
tween,
disposable
teen, yeah,
income.
And they are, and they're spending a lot of money. They want nice quality things. So I feel like we've hit, you know, a void that really hasn't been hit. But I also, I don't know, maybe we'll change later.
So do I have to be worried that I'm going to need a new stylist because you're going to become rich and famous and not want to have the salon anymore?
Well, I feel like the hair part is what is my passion. So I'll be honest, I feel like no matter what, I'll always stay in the salon in some, you know, some aspect because that's what keeps me happy and that's what, you know, where my heart is, my passion. And I feel like that's what also drives this business is me being able to tell them what... You know, my team for Glop and Glam, who they're also, by the way, amazing, but also being able to tell them, you know, okay, this is what hairstylists want. This is what salon owners want, you know, and us being able to work backwards from my other job, you know.
Well, and I have to say, as a stylist, you really listen to your clientele. I was sitting in the salon the other day watching you talk with somebody, and that's when the light bulb went off about Neil, because she's like, you know, I don't really like this, and I don't, you know, she was definitely giving you all the things she didn't want her hair to look like.
Yeah.
And you were just listening.
Well, excuse me.
And
what
made
do you
it,
mean the light bulb went off like Neil? Well, what does that mean?
I don't know. No, but I'm serious. And you were listening, and then the outcome was such that she loved it.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, my gosh, this is exactly who I need to introduce Neil to about the
oh,
hair.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I thought you were thinking I was a troublemaker.
Never. So given that your businesses both have very distinct business models and very different, mm-hmm. you know, what do you think the pros and cons of both of those type of, you know, you have a salon where you rent basically real estate, booths out.
Yeah, they're both very different. I think, obviously, they're so different. I think the pros of the hair business is no matter what, or as far as the salon business, mm-hmm. I feel like no matter what the economy is, I mean, I remember when the economy was really down and people were still coming in to get their hair done. And I feel like they were saying, you know, I won't splurge on other things, but I will on
you
my
gotta
hair.
Cover the
I gotta
cover the gray.
I gotta cover the gray. I gotta get a haircut, you know. So I feel like that in that, you know, that's something that's a positive thing. But I think physically we have to work really hard in the salon, and that's hard. All of us in the beauty business, it's hard on our bodies. We have to work physically hard. As far as the products, you know, that has a little bit slower. Like, right, you know, everyone had a horrible winter in the country, so all the snow and the shipping and, you know, trying to do all of that, that becomes a problem. Whereas I don't have that in Santa Barbara.
You know, I used to teach investments and finances at City College, and one of the interesting articles that came out of academia in 2008, 2009 is that the beauty parlor business is one of the great anti-cyclical businesses because people, when they really are unable to go on vacation, unable to buy something, they feel better about themselves just going to the beauty parlor and, you know, having a manicure, having their hair done, and it becomes almost counter-cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
And that the worse the economy is, this is something that people don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
So you picked a good business. Maybe I should have become a hairstylist. I should, you know, Warren Beatty did very well as a hairstylist.
You could be my assistant. We could train you. We could put you in the yeah.
No,
let's start on the
problem.
Phones
I would,
and see how that
no,
goes.
No, I was thinking about that, but I don't think I could wear heels as long as you do.
Yeah.
Right.
On that note, I think it's time to take a break.
I think it's time to take a break. And by the way, as hard as it is to believe,
is
we're
going
to take a break
already?
And we're going to come back with our final segment. You've been listening, and we'll continue to listen, I hope, to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
The Santa Barbara County Fire Department reminds motorists that the law requires you to pull to the right side of the road and allow emergency vehicles to pass. When you hear sirens or see red lights, pull to the right side of the road and stop. Failure to do so can cause serious accidents or delays in arriving at the scene of an emergency. If you find yourself behind an emergency vehicle, stay at least 300 feet behind them in case of a sudden stop. If you are a pedestrian, stay out of the street and keep children close by. The Santa Barbara County Fire Department reminds you to pull to the right and sit tight.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So I think what's important to talk about now is that, you know, you are also a driver of our local economy. You know, Glap and Glam, aside from Miche, where you provide employment for how many stylists?
Well, there's 15 people total.
15 people, and then Glap and Glam also has its corporate headquarters here downtown Santa Barbara, where you employ
five
people to do the accounts receivable and, you know, the back end of Glap and Glam. And, you know, it's really that small business that drives our local economy, given the real estate and everything being so expensive. We don't have a lot of multinational big companies. But whenever anyone talks about a recession, they're always thinking about Deckers or like huge employers, when really it's the 20-person employers that really drive Santa Barbara to be what it is. So thank you on that. No. And then, Neil, you said you had a question for her on the break?
No.
I love when you do that.
No questions for me?
No, because whenever we have a show, I always say to the guest before the show, any answer is a good answer, just you can't say yes or no. And I've been waiting 6 years to be able to say that. No. just to show how bad it is to say that. So what's next? You've done so many things and everything's worked out. Is there something that you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, I have to do this next?
I think honestly for Glap and Glam, just the growth that we've had this last year has been a lot. So just trying to really stay healthy while we grow, so that, you know, we're doing a bigger launch in Canada in the next few months. We're just going a lot bigger.
Are you going on the west of Canada?
We're going to do the whole thing, the whole country in a much bigger way. So that's going to be big. And then we'll probably do Europe in the next year. So I think just really trying to stay focused and making sure that we have, you know, we're spending our money in the right places and, you know, getting inventory in line and making sure that we stay focused with what we need and staying true to our customers with, you know, keeping up our quality and you know, working with
all. Were you able to trademark the name?
Yes, we were. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And now, in terms of the competitive landscape, you said when you first came out, how long has Glap and Glam been around?
It's been 7 years now that we've been selling. So we've had 7 years of...
7 years of getting the competitive edge,
exactly,
if you will. Now, have you seen the space become a little bit more crowded?
Yeah, absolutely. But like I said, I think it was good that we were first to market. We have a couple of competitors that are a little different than us. But I think that I'm really glad that we stuck with how our price point, you know, and also doing... the natural element and, you know, the things like the natural ice prevention and all of those things that stay true to who we are and our demographic that we're going after.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing all these great things for Santa Barbara.
But most importantly, thank you so much for cutting Neil's hair.
Thank you. You stepped over my line. Thank you so much for cutting my hair. You know, that's why I'm so confident now.
I know it is.
And I'm getting nervous she's going to stop doing
but
it.
But I love Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is my home. I love this town, so.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk, and we'll see you next week.